right. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you once again on TSN Radio 690 Montreal. How's it going?
Good evening, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Nothing.
No, you got here late tonight.
What do you mean I got here late?
You got here like 4 minutes ago.
It was pretty close.
I understand that the traffic coming from the Justin Bieber concert was crazy.
Yeah.
But still, Jay, this
was that
is no
tonight?
Excuse.
No, yeah.
Oh, don't lie. Don't.
Hey?
I can hear it in your voice.
Come on.
You've been shrieking like a schoolgirl all night.
No, it's because I was getting back from Toronto where I just went to see the halftime show and during the Grey Cup. And then I wanted to get down here in time to get the second of my whole Justin Bieber weekend, get it going, and yeah, I'm sorry I'm late. I went to get you a coffee, for God's sakes, and Tim Horton was closed down. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I got here a little earlier than you tonight. We had some people to speak to, and sometimes it's easier to get in touch with them at an earlier hour. That being said, really happy that you're all with us right now. The time is, 11:50 or so, but you might be listening on the kaufmanshow.podbean.com, in which case, time doesn't matter. So, here we are, and we've got ourselves a big show tonight. Alex Anthopoulos will join us on the show this evening.
Wow!
Jay, this is Alex's third or fourth appearance on the Kaufman Show.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was the second.
No, there was the caravan, the one in the winter.
Yes.
And, of course, who can forget when this was Balls, the baseball
show? Who can forget that?
I feel like
Want to forget that?
We should throw some trivia.
Me.
At, some sort of a grand prize to whoever can name the theme song to Balls, the baseball show. Give you a hint.
I can't even do that.
I'll give you a hint. We played it last week.
Ah.
So there's your hint. If you can figure out what the theme was last week, that we had a certain musical theme. I don't know if you remember, Mr. Farrar.
Yes, I do. That I remember. Again.
Tonight's is less structured, if you will.
Less structured.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the show is equally impressive.
No Justin Bieber tonight.
Holy damn, last week's show. Oh, maybe a little Justin Bieber tonight. If you play your cards right, I will put on some Bieber tonight, I swear to God.
Yeah. Just when I thought the CFL could do no worse, well, they did. Unbelievable.
Did you watch?
Yes, I did. I watched the game. And, yeah, the kid got booed when he went out, by the way. And when they announced his name at the beginning, he got booed. You know, you got Gordon. It's just a mess. You got Gordon Lightfoot out there. And then all of a sudden, these two idiot kids come on. And it's they're playing to the wrong demographic.
It was Mariana's Trench, I think. And
yeah.
Then,
yeah, they
West
were
Coast
awesome.
Band. And then Carly Rae Jepsen.
Right. Yeah,
and
somebody else
Beeb.
We won't see in 15 minutes. And who else?
And then the Beeb.
And then the Beeb.
The Beeb, the King of Stratford.
Dude, that was the worst crap I've ever seen.
It was awful. I don't know why you subjected yourself to it.
Because
frankly,
it was on. It was on. And you know why?
I hate to be this guy.
I know I have a radio show to do. That's exactly why I subject myself to these things.
Well, I hate to be that guy, because you know how much I love this country and how proudly I support Canadian music. But, man, that was not what I was looking for. Out of a halftime show.
No, it's not even about should it really be about Canadian music?
Well,
is that what it should be about?
The Black Eyed Peas played a couple of years
ago.
Yeah,
they're crap too. But
well, and they're also not Canadian.
Yeah, but I mean, even if does it really matter what the nationality is of the person performing?
I think at the Grey Cup, yes, it does.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Just put on a good show. Put on some good music and try to appeal to your demographic a little bit better.
Well,
you know,
I think the idea of that was to reach outside of the demographic. And frankly, that worked. 5.9 million people watched the telecast last night.
Right.
Telecast. What am I?
The telecast.
What am I, like 75? The telecast.
This is Red Bob along with Dave Kaufman with your telecast for this evening.
Sponsored
the
by
the telecast.
No, I mean, look.
Sponsored by the Boiled Ham Company.
There's ham again. My God. Look, Jay, I'm not the guy that they're trying to get to turn on the TV with that, obviously. But I think they thought that they could convert some people or maybe turn it into more of a family experience, get the kids gather around, watch Bieber. I don't know, man. I don't even know why I'm trying to make excuses for the CFL.
Yeah, yeah. You noticed the look I was giving you right now.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with
me.
I don't know.
You know what? It doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen for all the other 18 games of the season. Just because it happens during the Grey Cup, what do you think? People are going to tune in? Oh, man, I really got to see the Argos play the Tiger Cats in the opener next year. Can't wait.
The game was garbage, unfortunately.
It was.
I would have totally been down with watching if it wasn't a terrible
and
game.
And I'm a fan of the CFL. I like the CFL.
Good for you. But the Niners were playing the Saints on Fox, and it was hard for me to not flip over.
Right.
And then the Simpsons were on. And then it was trivia at Grumpy's, where they were showing American football. I thought to myself, oh, wow, how the mighty have fallen.
Grumpy's is showing American football.
Even
what, is that Sunday. Ironic? Is that why? Because it's ironic
Grey
for Grumpy.
Cup Sunday. Okay. And Grumpy's is showing the wonderful Giants-Packers game.
Ah.
We'll send out that wonderful to Mr. Dave McGimsey.
Well,
it was a treat to have in studio last
week. He was fun. We should have him more often.
A quick moment about last week's show, if we may. Thank you all for downloading and visiting the website. We had more unique downloads of last week's show than any other show that we've put on the website since we started the website last December. So, I don't know what the hell happened last week, but we really appreciate it.
We had breaking news.
That is true.
That's what happened.
In that case, we'd like to thank Andrew Stoughton from Drunk Jays Fans and Getting Blanked for linking to our article. And man, it felt like Christmas morning when I woke up last Tuesday. It was pretty sweet. And I'm Jewish.
So it must have been really weird.
Christmas morning when I was a kid was me waking up and running to my living room to see if Santa had screwed up and left presents by mistake.
Eww.
I know. And then staring
at
the window.
It's kind of a racial paradigm, isn't it?
It's sad, isn't it? And then staring at the window at my neighbors and watching them just love that holiday.
Oh.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough sometimes being a Jew on Christmas.
Oh.
Well, invite me over next year.
That's kind of like the black kid who likes the white doll better. You know what I mean? It's racial paradigm. It doesn't make sense. What have we done? What have white people done to you people?
Well, now you're bringing this out of a conversation.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Commenting.
Yeah, I know. That's what I do. I'm here to make everybody uncomfortable.
Well, and you do
Justin, like Justin Bieber at the Grey Cup. That's what I'm here to do.
Oh goodness. Do you think there was that factor in it as well?
It was so awkward. It was just terrible. The kid just didn't belong there. These are, you know, CFL
it reminded
fans.
Me of Justin Timberlake at SARSTOCK trying to perform on the same stage where AC/DC and the Rolling Stones were coming up.
Later. Yeah.
And, I mean, the kid, and he was a kid at the time, got just barrage of water bottles by the thousands.
Yeah.
But he stuck it out, and he played with the Stones a few hours later, came up and did a duet on Miss You with Mick. And frankly, by the end of the night, he won the crowd over. I'm guessing it's not the same with Justin Bieber, right?
Well, no. I mean, it's so contrived and it's just awful. And they couldn't even get people to go down on the field. They just put all the cheerleaders there, and it was just it's terrible. This is terrible. People, I mean, like I said, the demographic, CFL demographic, it's a lot of folks from out west. It's a lot of people who like their country music. It's a lot of people who like their classic rock and roll. Gordon Lightfoot is fine. And then Gordon Lightfoot is opening up for Justin Bieber.
Yeah, there's something messed up in that.
That's the kind of world we live in right now.
That being said, I don't think that it would have been a financial windfall, an advertising windfall, if Gordon Lightfoot had headlined the Grey Cup halftime show. I think I would have liked it. I think you might have liked it. I think Dave Bedini would have been over the moon.
No, you see, and you know what? I would probably be bitching about that, too, because I'd be like, oh, that's so typical. Gordon Lightfoot. It's like the opening for Hockey Night in Canada. Of course they're going to play Gordon Lightfoot.
Could it get any more Canadian than this?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. It's so lame, you know. Why don't you put Anne Murray out there at the same time?
I remember years ago the Hip did the halftime show. I think it was 02 or 03. The game was in Ottawa. Outdoor game at Lansdowne Park. And it was
that's cool.
Obviously, I'm going to think that the Hip halftime show is good.
That's cool.
Sam Roberts has done it.
Yes, that's cool. Well, you're appealing to the right demographic now.
That's it.
And I understand what they're trying to do. And yes, they're going to get ratings for that game over. But as soon as that halftime was over, believe me, the 5.9 million or whoever it was, about 4.7 million of them switched over to something else.
Well, yeah. I mean,
American Idol or some crap was
Sunday
on TV.
Sunday night, Jay. I mean, it's HBO. What are you going
to
do?
You want to see some good lip syncing, go back to American Idol or whatever they call it. The Voice.
The lip syncing part to me is the most frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
It's not Michael Jackson. They're not able to dance and sing at the same time.
Even if they were, Jay, it seems so fake. It seems so wrong.
The whole thing is contrived.
I don't know if he was using dubbed vocals at the Bell Center tonight or not, but I don't think you would have heard it over the screaming girls, frankly. Mm-hmm. Terrifying. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, be good, or I'm going to force you guys to listen to Justin Bieber tonight.
off feels bad. I don't expect to be treated like a fool no more. I don't expect to sleep through the night. Some people say lies, 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 and I say why? Why deny the obvious, child? Why deny the obvious, child? And I remember in the road sign, I remember in the girl when I was young, and we said these songs are true, these days are ours, these tears are free. The cross is in the ballpark.
All right, so let's welcome Alex Anthopoulos back to the program. Welcome back, Alex. How are you?
Glad to be back.
It's must have been a heck of a week, huh?
Yeah, it's really week, 10 days. It's been nuts, to put it mildly, I guess. But glad it's over with. A lot is getting done. A lot got done in a short period of time. And a bit relieved because a lot of the bulk of the work is done, and now we could just focus on the winter meetings and hopefully some tweaks here and there.
What's the reaction been like on the street in Toronto when you've gone grocery shopping or been to a restaurant? Do you notice a difference in the fans?
Definitely. You know, it's funny. I understand we had a terrible year, 73 games, and it's not fun. And I remember normally I'll do, I try to help out my wife, and we have two young kids at home, and I'll go grocery shopping late at night to help her out. And over one time late in the summer, I was there. I try to have nobody really notice me, so I'll just wear a cap and, torn jeans and just look like a bum a little bit. And I was trying to pick cauliflower, broccoli, and the guy came up to me and said, "Hey, man, rough year, huh?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Hey, I feel really bad for you." I said, "Hey, I feel bad for you, too. You're the fans that got to watch." So, I mean, I went from that in the summer to you walk down the street and everyone's excited, great job. And, I don't take either of it with too much. I don't put too much weight in any of it because I know how fast it can change. And really, I mean, I know it's been a splash for an off-season move, and we've added a lot of money, but we haven't played any games. And Boston 2 years ago or Anaheim last year, it does not guarantee anything. But it's nice to see the fan base excited. It's not just in Toronto. It's been across Canada.
Last week, you joined Melnick in the afternoon, talked about different areas that can still be improved on the team.
There's still areas I don't think you're ever satisfied. I think, I am concerned about the depth in the rotation. We have five starters, but beyond that, I'd like to do better and, create more of that depth. The unfortunate part about it is when you're talking about guys that you can option to the minor leagues, they're young, they don't make any money. Those are guys that are very hard to trade for. No one's motivated to trade those guys, and ultimately you end up looking at minor league free agents. And I'd say the other area, if we can continue to solidify, especially if you're going to plan on contending, is if we can make the bullpen even stronger. Guys like Darren Oliver still might come back. We still have our eye on guys like Jason Frazier, Brandon Lyon. But the bullpen is another area that if we could, we'd still like to improve that.
What can we expect to see from here on out, Alex?
I'm still trying to do some things, smaller things. If something big fell on our lap, great. But I'd still like to do some things, but I don't think you'll see anything huge, not right now at least. So, until spring training starts, we'll always continue to try to improve the club. But I'd really say working on a bunch of small things, and if I can maybe do one significant thing, that would be great.
I want to ask you about Melky Cabrera. This is obviously a bit of a polarizing issue in baseball right now, the way that he did not finish his season under the most wonderful of circumstances last year. And everybody's talking about what a great get this is for Toronto, a two-year, $16 million deal. For you, obviously, I don't think it's about the money as much as it is about the potential upside for this player, right?
No question. And, we talked about it a lot. We looked at it. We talked about it internally in September, getting someone like him. And we did a lot of work. I'd read things like San Francisco didn't want him back and so on. And the more we did research on the issue, one of the complications that that they had was the fact that if they had tried to activate him during the playoffs, he would have had to sat out the first five games of the playoffs. And that means they would have had to play short. And I don't know that anybody that would have made sense for the Giants to play short. Also considering the fact he would have been out almost 2 months and couldn't have played in games, couldn't have got his timing back. So you're looking at bringing back a player who hasn't played in 2 months and on top of it playing short for 5 days. So I don't know that it was as much an indication of what happened. Clearly, no one was happy about it. No one condones it. He made a terrible mistake. He did a terrible thing. But, the game has shown a lot of people have gotten a second chance, whether it's Mark McGwire now being back at the game as a hitting coach, or guys like Andy Pettit or Giambi or Brian Roberts getting a second chance after being linked to PED. So it's not something that we condone, but the work that we did and, you know, having spoken to the player and everybody involved, you know, I'm satisfied that he's going to put it behind him and hopefully have a very good 2 years for us.
Let's go back to the Blockbuster deal for a minute or two. I have to say, as an Expos fan, there was a little part of me that saw this trade and felt like the Marlins were, they reminded me of something that I did not like about baseball. I wonder if there was any part of that that went through your head and maybe brought you back to 15 years ago and being a Montrealer and seeing a team get systematically taken apart piece by piece.
You know, I never thought about it, and I guess maybe I'm so far removed from it or I'm so consumed with the job, but you're right. You know, now you just, it's the first time I've actually been ever hit with, you know, putting it in that context. And I think about, obviously, the 94 club and after the strike, and you know, it almost seemed like it was a rush. I mean, Kevin Malone was in the gym, but there was a rush to trade everybody. Wetland, Kenny Hill, I know Delano had traded earlier when, you know, Mark Marquise was traded to the Braves. And, you know, I know that one was tough. And I know at that time, thinking about it then, it was tough to see all those guys go, especially the season that we came off of. I don't know that you can draw a complete parallel because that was, you know, the team that was dismantled at the time had the best record in baseball. I think it was 74-40. And it was a lot of promising young players that had a chance to be together for a long time. The Marlins club was, you know, much, you know, the contracts that we took on are significantly more expensive. And it was a club that, frankly, not to disparage them, but their standings are what they are. They finished in last place. So, you know, maybe from a fan standpoint, it's hard to lose those players. And the other component is the fact that, you know, two of those players were players that were imported through free agency, whereas with the Expos, they were players that had been around for a while. And I think, you know, speaking for myself as a fan, you had a chance to get attached to those guys and see them develop from, you know, young players and just get better year after year. So I understand the dismantling of the team. I don't think it's like exactly the same. It's probably more similar to the Florida Marlins trade after they won the World Series in 97. But
right.
Again, they're not a contending team.
No, and I appreciate the difference there. And I think it's just more from a level of hope than anything else. Anyways, Alex, I want to end on one final thing. The Blue Jays released a statement today announcing that they'll be sponsoring a college baseball tournament for Canada. And I just wanted to get your comments on that.
I think it's great. I think, you know, we continue to push the envelope. And I think it starts with our, you know, really one of our higher ranking individuals in the office, and Steve Brooks. And he's really the catalyst for a lot of these grassroots programs that we have in place. And I know he's a big believer in them. And obviously, Paul Beeston, as our CEO, is certainly a strong proponent of them. So I think anything we do to help amateur baseball at the Canadian level is a plus. And we've seen it. The interest level is, you know, climbing incredibly well. Ratings on Sportsnet are through the roof. Obviously, we need a competitive club to continue to push the popularity of the sport. But I think doing things like that and encouraging amateur baseball is great. It's just going to help the sport across Canada, and ultimately it'll help us.
You guys are doing all the right things, and the view from the cheap seats over here is keep it up. We're all very impressed with how much baseball is being discussed in Canada in the month of November.
Oh, it's very exciting. And again, I know we're based out of Toronto, but you start to really feel being the only Canadian team, and I do feel like we're embraced across Canada for the East Coast or the West Coast, and hopefully we can put together a contending season, get to the playoffs, and compete for the World Series.
Alex Anthopoulos is the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Alex.
All right, Dave, I really enjoyed it.
Have a good night.
You're scared still. You can trust in this. You can trust in this. Trust in me, you can trust in me.
Our thanks to Alex Anthopoulos. This is the Kaufman Show. Jay and I'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave and Jay. Follow Jay on Twitter at JPubRadio. I am at The Kaufman Show. Do I have to spell Kaufman for you now, or are we there?
For me,
right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Like Andy.
Like Andy.
Like a poor Kaufman without the extra N on the end of his name. Not yes. Like those DeSwiss.
No.
Highfalutin.
The what?
That highfalutin DeSwiss bunch make us look bad. What?
I don't know.
Deal with it, Ferrari.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm not saying. I'm quietly judging you. That's what I'm doing.
You know, Jay, this is all marking towards Bieber being played.
Why are you so angry tonight? What happened?
I'm wonderful.
You okay? Everything okay at the house?
Everything's great, man.
Okay.
I'll tell you, and I don't normally like to talk about this on air, but we pre-taped all of our interviews tonight.
What?
And
that wasn't live?
No, that was not live.
Oh.
And our interview coming up in about 10 minutes' time with Ellis Valentine is not live either. But, man, it touched me. Ellis Valentine has the heart of a whale. The guy is just amazing. And after the interview ended, he picked up the phone and had a couple of words for me afterwards. And I...
What kind of words?
It's just some stuff that I appreciated that was off air. And the guy is...
All right.
A wonderful man. The guy has the heart the size of a whale.
He wasn't pissed off at you.
Far from it.
Okay, good.
Far from it.
Good.
We need more Ellis Valentine in this city. That's all I'm going to say about that. Let's go to the phones. 514-790-1690. If you're out of town, 1-866-896-2546. Let's go to Jerry in Snowden. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm great, man. What's going on?
You know, I grew up with someone with your same name.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is he the guy from, I want to say McGill class of 67 that allows me to continue to get the McGill alumni daily? I swear to God, Jay, I get the newsletter. I haven't.
He did go to McGill, but I think it was before. Yeah, it might be him.
All right. Well, there you go. Please send him my best.
He's a lawyer.
He's a, well.
How can I tell you?
Okay.
He's a lawyer.
But we still like him, right?
What did I missed the interview, unfortunately. I forgot. What did the Toronto Blue Jay manager have to say?
Alex Anthopoulos.
Yeah.
Tell me, Jerry, I know you're a man of elegance and taste, so refined. You do have internet, right?
No.
Oh, boy.
Good for you, Jerry. Good for you.
Well, Jerry, we'll have to figure out a way for you to get to thekaufmanshow.podbean.com because it'll be up there at the end of the show. And
all right.
But what did he have to say? Look, the guy's flying right now. Things could not be better. He's got a behemoth of a corporation in Rogers backing him and believing in him.
That's a good thing.
The way I look at it is that he's 35 years old, I think. He has worked harder than just about anybody I've ever met, and he's made it. And it's a wonderful, he's a wonderfully inspiring person for me.
He sounds like a good guy.
I really admire Alex Anthopoulos.
He's 35.
I believe so, Jay.
Jeez.
I know.
No, right?
I'm 35.
I know you are.
I'm 35. I'm still trying to figure out which end of my apartment smells the worst. That's what I'm doing at 35.
You know, I was listening to The Fan in New York the other night.
Uh-huh.
And I was a very interesting suggestion. Some lawyer called up and he suggested that the Canadian teams of the NHL should split off,
mm-hmm.
and that the Stanley Cup actually doesn't belong to the NHL, that it belongs to two individuals, and that they should compete for the Stanley Cup.
Well, the two individuals that I believe have given, they're called the trustees of the Cup.
Right.
One of them is Brian O'Neill, who's been with the NHL, I think, since the influenza virus canceled the 1919 season. And the other one, I want to say, is the president of the Hockey Hall of Fame. I could be wrong about that. But I think it's the which is Scotty Morrison, I believe.
Yeah, that's him.
I think those are the two guys.
Yeah, they are.
Now, those guys know where their bread is buttered, and they're never going to say that this year the Stanley Cup is going to be decided between the TMR whatever and the West Vancouver something or others. There's no way that the Stanley Cup is going to be.
It's a brand. You can't change the brand.
Yeah. The discussion the last time the season was canceled, I believe Adrian Clarkson brought up the idea, let's let the women play for it. That obviously went nowhere, and now the Clarkson Cup is the trophy that they give out to the best female hockey team in Canada. So, you know what? I don't know. I don't think hockey's going to be played, I'll tell you that.
I agree with you.
I really don't.
They brought in some federal mediators today.
Yes, they did.
Do you think
Mr.
that will help
Guy
the situation?
Sirota. Wow, what an interesting couple of hours that was on Twitter.
Yeah, and the problem is that the mediators are non-binding. Even if they say, well, maybe you should do this, the other guys can tell them what to do with it if
the
they want.
The last time that mediation was brought in, when we were last in this spot, what was it, 7 years ago?
Right.
3 days after mediation was brought in, the season was canceled. The only difference between then and now is that that was in February.
Yeah.
So they waited till February to bring in a mediator.
I don't know.
That's okay, man. There's rock and roll playing. You can go see Leonard Cohen this week instead.
It's a shame.
It's a shame, but it's the reality of it all. And if it allows us to step back from sports and look at it with a bit more of an eye that says that this isn't some wonderful fantasy that we can all escape from at all times, then I think maybe we'll be better off for this. And maybe next year we won't be so driven on the Habs.
I agree.
Jerry, thanks for the call, man.
You're welcome. Talk
Have
to you
a
later.
Great night.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Perhaps,
Yes?
You know.
Did I get in trouble with that last comment?
No, I was going to
follow
up.
You're listening to the home of the Habs.
Hey, listen, you know, how are you going to get in trouble for that? You know, I'm going to say straight up, and I've been saying it, that I hope it gets canceled.
Yeah.
I hope it gets canceled. Maybe then they'll realize the self-important whatevers that...
But are we talking about the owners or the players?
Both. That the ability to hit a piece of rubber with a stick is really not that important when you really, really think about it.
But dude, we put it on our money. It's got to be important.
Yeah, of course. No. I hope it all goes to crap. I really do. I really do. I'm so sick of it.
The only part of me that wants them to play is the me that remembers what it was like to be 14 in the summer of 94.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Even, you know, even when we reminisce about the Expos.
It's a different game now. It's a totally different game. The Expos in 94, the price point made more sense for a 14-year-old kid than
right.
the NHL or any other organized sport does now.
Mm-hmm.
Save things like MLS, which is still reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But
for now.
Like everything else in this world, you get what you pay for.
Right.
Speaking of, we're going to start to monetize the podcast. I'm kidding.
I was about to call a federal mediator.
Did you see the guy that they brought in?
No.
The name Guy Sirota? You weren't around Twitter this afternoon?
No.
They announced the names of the three mediators, and one of them is this guy, Guy Sirota, S-I-R-O-T-A, I believe. And right away, journalists start digging. And they find his YouTube page, and they find his Twitter account. His Twitter account is just basically him sniping at Sarah Silverman. Ladies and gentlemen of the internet, before you start doing things on Twitter, watch people and see how they...
Are they sure it's the same guy?
Unless you can be retroactively hacked.
Right.
I think so. Okay. I think it's him. I know he was saying...
I don't know how many Guy Sirotas there are, but... Yeah.
The Guy Sirota's YouTube page was definitely him.
It's probably, you know what? They probably just met this guy on the street and say, listen, we're going to put a suit on you.
No,
we're
going
to give you a couple
involved.
Of acting lessons, and I want you to stand in the room and look important.
One would think, Jay, but he was actually involved in the last round of mediation.
Oh, so they just got the same actor again. They didn't even bother to change it up.
He's just some regular dude who has a job as a mediator that's never in the public eye, and boom, it's in the public eye. And suddenly his social media profile gets him taken off the case.
I gotta do something else at the office. I gotta do work at the office now. I can't be sniping at Sarah Silverman all day. I gotta do something now.
We'll call this a piece of advice to anybody who's ever trying to apply for anything. I try to go by one mantra with social media, Jay. Don't put anything out there that you're not happy having the New York Times put in your obituary. And I've definitely crossed that line.
Yeah.
I've crossed the line a few times. But I'm assuming that the Times won't print those words.
Right.
So we're good.
Right.
But I think that anybody who's, you know, especially applying to work in this field, probably smarter to watch what you say. And yes, Twitter is the world capital of snark and sarcasm. Make sure people get what you're trying to say.
Make sure the context is right and, you know, make sure that it's coming from an honest place. And you know what? Listen, I'm not one for censorship, that's for sure. Everybody knows that about me. And if you read my tweets, you'll know that that's true. Also, my Facebook profiles. Be true to yourself. Be honest with yourself. But at the same time, you know, plan it out a little bit better, you know? Make sure. Make sure. Look at the big picture while you're doing it.
To thine own self be true. Words of wisdom from Mr. Farrar. Let's go back to the phones, 514-790-1690. Let's go to the chef in Montebello. Good evening, Andrew.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I called in early last week, and I was going to call back a little later when you were taking calls, but the show was just so incredible. There was absolutely – I was taking notes, and I was getting ready to ask some questions, and I had nothing. I mean, there was absolutely nothing that I could – call in and talk about, because everything that was absolutely said, I couldn't have agreed more about. It was one of the most thought-provoking shows that you guys have ever had, and I can understand why you had more than 400 downloads of your podcast. Great stuff.
Man, thank you so much, Andrew.
Oh, sir,
it means a lot coming from you. I know you've been listening since the start, so I really appreciate that.
Sure, I was just like, blah, 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 blah. I got nothing. Call in, couldn't do it. But you know what I wish there was on Twitter, and if Twitter is listening, the world of Twitter, the god of Twitter,
mm-hmm.
There should be one free letter or whatever you call it, and it should just be an emoticon so people would know when it's sarcasm. You could put a funny face. You could put something stupid, because there is so much that is lost in Twitter just because you can't – there's no way in 140 characters you can possibly understand someone's sarcasm.
Do you text message, Chef?
No, I don't.
Okay. I feel like that there's a similar issue with that. There's a similar thing with emails. There's something wonderfully genuine about hearing someone's voice and being able to capture their tone. And I think it's a safe assumption that no matter what or who you're getting a message from or a tweet from, always assume that it's in a most sarcastic tone.
And
don't assumption is well, we all know what that does to you and me. So you have to be very careful.
That's it. But it was, guys, I'm really looking forward to hearing Ellis Valentine. I saw he had some great remarks to you on Twitter afterwards and stuff like that. So, guys, keep up the good work. And honestly, hockey, screw them.
There you go.
We're getting by just fine without them, aren't we?
They're not worthy of our time right now.
That's right.
Basically, that's what it's gotten down to. It's the kids that's going to hurt the most. But as soon as the hockey rinks are up and I got one in my backyard out here, I can't wait.
Well put, Chef.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, man. Have a great night. I like that.
Yeah. And you know what? It's also in the hands of in the creativeness of the person who is trying to convey the sarcasm. If you don't have the ability to convey sarcasm through words, then you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Well, yeah, good luck with that.
But it takes, like I said, it takes planning. When I tweet something that's very sarcastic but also a little controversial, I make sure that you can get the subtle intonations of the sarcasm before I release it.
But don't deny that things still get lost.
Well, with people who don't have a sense of humor, yeah.
Well, or people that aren't...
take themselves a little too seriously.
Or people that aren't super familiar or aware with social media. And I think that you see... You know, funnily enough, of something we'll discuss in our interview with Ellis Valentine is the fact that he might be the only ball player from the 80s that's constantly tweeting.
Yeah.
But it took some time to get to the top of that mountain.
Right.
You know what I like?
What?
I like Aretha Franklin covering
Me
the
too.
Songs. This is The Kaufman Show.
People say you're riding high in April, shot down in May, but I know I'm gonna change that tune when I'm back on top, back on top in June. I said that's life, and as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down, 'cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Our next guest is one of the greatest Montreal Expos of all time. I got to meet him last summer at the Montreal Baseball Project 1981 reunion. And if you missed our conversation from last June, I believe it was, it's you shouldn't have missed it. And it's on the kaufmanshow.podbean.com. Let's welcome back Ellis Valentine to the program. How are you, sir?
Not bad, Dave. How are you, buddy?
I'm fantastic. Good. Very happy to be speaking with you again.
Good. Yeah, you too.
And really happy to be, this has been a constant theme on my show that I thought would end in October, but we're still talking baseball. We have not stopped. The fact that there's no hockey hasn't hurt things at all, but we're talking a lot of baseball in Montreal right now in the month of November. It's pretty sweet.
That's pretty good. Baseball's a good thing.
I agree. Now, you have a new website up called pastpros.com. And we figured we'd have you on to talk about it. First of all, I don't know if our listening audience is aware of this. First of all, Ellis is on Twitter. It's evalentine17, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, you are one of the most aware, socially active athletes, at least former athletes, that I know. When did
really?
I don't know a lot of ball players that stopped playing in the 80s that tweet as frequently as you do. That's for sure.
Well, trust me, I'm learning with the tweet thing. I'm more of a Facebook guy, and this Twitter thing has just been something new. My wife, no more social networking, but I thought I'd give it a try. So we're doing that to kind of get a lift with Past Pros, and I'm getting better. I'm getting better.
Well, the reason that I noticed Past Pros was because you tweet about it, and I basically. The concept is you're selling autographs, you're promoting media appearances, as well as you can catch up, find out what you've been up to over the last, X amount of years. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about it?
Well, it was an idea that was brought to me by a couple of guys, and actually when I was in Montreal for the Montreal Baseball Project last summer, a couple of guys, Colin and Emmanuel, they both came to me and asked me about this idea that they had. And one of the idea basically is to help get guys an opportunity to move some of their memorabilia, old memorabilia, you name it, some of their current pictures if they were doing that. Because we get a lot of guys that come to us and they want to do it for us and for a percentage, and you know that. You know how that goes.
Sure.
So and a lot of us, we didn't grow up in the computer era, so getting a little help from these guys, they're kind of teaching me a lot of stuff, and I'm just loving it, loving the support and loving the partnership that I have with them. But I have a closet, attic full of old stuff. I mean, baseball bags from the 70s, all the way through from the Expos to the Angels to the Mets to the Rangers, and it's just up in my attic. I've had several houses, and each house I take these bags and we just store them. You know what I mean?
Well, so, I wonder about that though, Ellis, because obviously, fans to get their hands on certain pieces of memorabilia, they scrimp and they save, and then they put it up on their walls or they put it behind frames. Do athletes really care that much about the uniform that they wore when they hit a certain home run or the ball that was, any kind of symbolism? Does that resonate with the athlete as much as it does with the fan?
Some of it's very sentimental and some of it is not. There's certain things that you hold on to. There's certain things that I treasure. My Montreal Expo baseball bag. Okay. I've already gotten, I don't know how many calls, people want to buy it already. They want it. And it's something I'm not really willing to part with at this point. And it's just a carry bag that we travel with. There's certain things that you do become attached to. However, there's other things that, you'd like to move or whatever, but there's some things that guys get very close with and very passionate with. Fans and people that collect have a totally different angle with doing these things. Some of them, you know, are trading them. Some of them use it for conversation piece. A lot of guys didn't get a chance to play, and you know, and they just want to still be linked to baseball in some kind of way, or players, and they do it through memorabilia. So there's all kinds of different angles, but a lot of us didn't really get to the level of, I guess, collectibles until about the late 80s when the baseball cards and the autographs and the signings and things became real popular.
Well, so, yeah.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that it became the pension for so many Major League Baseball players.
True.
To go to autograph shows and I mean, you know, for they talk about them shoving pieces of paper in front of Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio until the days that they died.
Yeah, well, they did that kind of stuff. I remember growing up, I used to use baseball cards for my bike, okay, to, you know, make it like a motorcycle. And whenever we got baseball cards, I just wanted the gum. But as the 80s came around and I guess the big signing, I do remember just the big signing of Ryan Sandberg back in the late 80s. It seemed like after that, things just kind of took off. And, you know, and at that point, I started to hold on to things, okay? And I kept a few things, but I didn't keep a lot. And as I went on, you know, to different autograph shows or the old-timers games and whatever, I would collect a few things. So I have a room here, that sports room, that I have some of my items in, and then one of the things I want to move is one of the reasons why we put together Past Pros, because I'm not the only guy with this kind of stuff. I went to another player's house, and this guy had been collecting bats for years and years and years, and his entire basement was just full of bats all over, you know, all kinds of bats from players, batting practice bats, broken bats, you name it. So when Colin and Emmanuel contacted me about this, you know, I was pretty interested. And I said, well, let's give this thing a try and let's see what we can do. Mainly, we just want to let guys have a right to their own, moving their own stuff, put it that way, instead of some other guy doing it for you and you pay him a percentage. You can move it at your own pace. So, and it might help out a lot of folks. So that's all we're trying to do.
And then are you going to be offering things like the media appearances? And I know you do skills development programs and run baseball clinics. Is that something
Correct.
That other players you think will get involved with as well through the website?
Well, sure. A lot of players are doing those types of things. Speaking engagements, I do a lot of things at schools for career day, things like that here in the local area here in Dallas. And I was doing it in California as well. People want to get in touch with you. This is the way they can get in touch with you. You have your own website. You're able to, you know, communicate with folks. You're able to talk with them through Facebook, through Twitter, and get to these guys. And a lot of guys, you know, people just don't have access to them. So this program will give them access to not only baseball players, but football players, basketball players, you name it. Anybody that wants to move some of their merchandise or their items. And I think it's a pretty neat idea. I've gotten a tremendous amount of feedback from it already within these last couple of weeks, and it's pretty exciting. I sure appreciate you having me on.
Of course, Ellis. Of course. We've got a couple of minutes left with Ellis Valentine, and I want to ask you, Ellis. I saw you on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, I guess. It would have been Veterans Day, in a Rangers jersey, visiting with some vets. I guess it was in the Arlington area, right?
It was in Dallas, yes, at Dallas VA.
How active are you with the Rangers alumni?
Very. One of the things that motivated me to move to Dallas was, well, first of all, my wife is from not Dallas, but 2 miles. Let's see. It's about 2 hours east of Dallas, a little place called Longview. And I played for the Rangers, and the Rangers have a very active alumni. The housing market here is pretty good, so we looked at moving out of California. We took a look at several different places. I'd live in Montreal today if it didn't snow 8 months out of the year. Okay? I would tell you that right now. Yeah, I don't think it snows 8 months, but, you know, it snows a lot. Put it that way.
Yeah, it's going to fall any day now. We're just sitting here dreading when waiting.
Trust me, I would be there right now. And my wife and I, we both feel the same way.
Well, we'll have to expect you. First of all, when Major League Baseball comes back, you won't have an excuse. And second of all, we expect to see you in the summertime, sir.
Well, I would hope so.
a guy that always comes to mind for me when I think of you is, as far as a contemporary, someone that I think a guy that my age can look at on a Major League Baseball field and say that you were somewhat similar to that, and off the field as well, is Josh Hamilton. Have you had an opportunity as someone who's in the Rangers alumni to speak to him and maybe mentor him, give him some advice?
Gosh, I would love to. I've turned my life around 26 years actually of being in a different mindset, and I would love to. However, these guys right now are pretty well buried by their agents and their, you know, their attorneys and so on and so forth. And Josh's agent is Scott Sanderson.
Oh, really?
And I talked to Scott about it. However, he hasn't. Well, he got back to me once, and I've been waiting to hear back from him. But you know, here Josh is going through a tremendous amount of challenges, and I relate to all of them. One of the things that we deal with if you have substance abuse issues, one of the things you deal with, you don't deal with failure as much as the hardships of success, okay? And if you look back at Josh's life, you look back at my life, I had a real hard time with doing well. I'd sabotage it. And Josh is going through a lot of the same things. So it's not that he's doing bad. If you look back on all the times when he had this most of his troubles, is when he struggled. He did well. That's when he did awesome with the All-Star game.
Right.
Afterwards, he got in trouble. Early this season, he had the great start. Went bad again. Okay. Last year, they did really well in the playoffs and the World Series. Got into some things again. I mean, you know, everything he does well, he just seems to wipe it out. That's what I look at. And, you know, we have this personal sabotage that we tear up things, especially when we're dealing with chemical dependency. And, you know, what happens with a guy like Josh, he's 32 years old, and we're expecting him to act like a 32-year-old, just like I was in Montreal. I was 20-something years old, 20 up to about 26. And they expected me to act like a 26-year-old, and I couldn't because I was emotionally young because I started using back when I was in my teens. So they were dealing with a teenager when I was in Montreal. I was just tremendously talented. But I know that today. I didn't know that then, Dave. So these are some of the things I know. So back to your question, I would love to work with Josh in some kind of way.
It just seems like a natural fit to me. I know I'm such an idealistic person that it's not even funny, but I feel like this is the kind of thing that could be a career saver for him.
Well, you know, this is the thing that I've said. You know, I'm right here in Dallas. All the arrows are pointing in that direction. If it hasn't happened yet, I just think the Lord does not want that to go that way. So I'll just patiently wait until I get a phone call.
Plus, you could teach him how to throw a baseball properly.
Well, that's the other side of the coin. I think I can teach him a little bit about playing the outfield. This year he wanted to win a gold glove, and, well, you work with somebody that's won one.
Ellis,
and I think I... You know what I mean? Well, go ahead.
No, I think, well, I'm going to have to call Nolan Ryan and see what strings I can pull from up here.
Yeah, what you call him? Give him a call tomorrow, okay?
I promise. You're on. Thanks so much for your time, Ellis. Always a pleasure to speak with you, and we'll be in touch.
Dave, great, man. Thank you, and good luck with your show.
Thanks so much. We will be in touch, and, of course, once again, encourage all of our listeners to visit pastpros.com.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks. Good night, Ellis.
All right, Dave. Take care, buddy.
Now, don't say nothing if you don't have something nice to say. Tough how they get going when the going get tough, but feel my best was never good enough. Now don't try for a home run, baby, if you can get the job done with a hit. Remember, the quitter never wins, and a winner. sun don't shine on a sleeping dog's ass and all the rest of that stuff. But feel my best was never good enough.
Our thanks to Alice Valentine. Follow him on Twitter, evalentine17. This is The Kaufman lemons. Show. We'll be back.
And make some lemonade. The early bird catches.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar here with you. Jay, everything good there?
Yeah, I'm all right.
All right.
Yeah.
I felt like you were going to push that button so hard you're going to fly across the room with it.
No.
All right.
It was going to fly across the room.
It might have been. Yeah. I'm in directly in the line of fire.
You are. You are in the line of fire.
Okay, so you saw.
That's why I relented.
I appreciate it.
To spare your life.
That was Dave Bedini and his Bedini Band, Toronto's Finest, singing The Ladies of Montreal. Some bad news over the internets.
What happened?
The Rio Statics gigs have been canceled.
Why?
We had Dave Bedini on last week to talk about it. He's been very coy about it thus far on his Twitter site, at HockeyEsque. But one of the members was unable to do it, and he seems just beside himself about it. So let's hope that we can get those Rio Statics reunion shows at the Horseshoe sometime in the new year. And in the meantime, I think we should start a Let's Get the Bedini Band to Play a Montreal Show campaign. Because I'm pretty sure they've never
Why
been
have
here.
They not yet?
I know. I know. And on the heels of that awesome track.
I got a few gigs.
You got a few gigs?
I got a few gigs.
What does that even mean?
Places where they can play.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. My music knowledge.
I got a few gigs.
You got a few gigs? You got a few gigs?
I don't know why I'm saying that.
I don't know either.
It's funny.
It's there's a certain...
Gigs.
You know what it is, Jay? It's
what?
That we're not talking about Gaza. There's just this nice feeling of relax.
I got a few Gazas. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Now you're just...
I don't need... I'm just being silly.
I'm trying to put on a professional radio show here, Mr.
Yep, God forbid.
Did you get the memo?
Yeah, sorry.
Next segment, we'll be joined by Max Kerman from Arkells, who are coming to town, which is very exciting.
Are they?
Yeah, you got to get the day off work, though.
When?
Friday, March 1st.
Ugh.
Oh, come on. It's so far away. There's not going to be a hockey game.
That's
the big concert in the city that night.
It's
not that close to where you work.
Days off, Dave. It's not in my job description.
I can already feel that cold coming on. There you go.
Ugh.
There you go. You're sounding rough, man.
Ugh.
You're sounding rough for early March.
Yeah.
Really, there's nothing we can do? No arms can be twisted?
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Maybe I'll be fired by then, so
well,
who knows?
We can, knock on wood,
knock
right?
Knock on wood.
So, yeah, that'll be a fun night. I hope you all get your tickets. We will have some tickets to give away for the show as well, a little closer to the date. Maybe we can find a concert to give away tickets to in the meantime. I don't have any Leonard Cohen tickets.
No?
No.
No.
No. And I had
two shows next week.
I had a bunch of Justin Bieber tickets, but I just...
Too late now.
I'd rather hold on to them and think of all the little kids that don't get to go.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what the Beatles crowd sounded like in 64 at the Forum?
Oh, probably a lot worse. The difference is that the Beatles had talent.
Yeah, but you wouldn't if you went to a concert.
You couldn't hear anything.
Exactly. When they started.
Said, yeah, when they played at Shea, apparently there was no point of even being there if you wanted to listen to the music. The only point to be there was just to be there and to say you were there.
I can't remember if it's the Forum show or the Maurice Richard Arena shows, because they played at both, I believe.
Yes.
But when the Beatles came to Montreal, they played a 2 p.m. show and a 7 p.m. show, and each set was 23 or 25 minutes long.
Right. Yeah, I believe my old man was at that one.
It makes
my father was at the Forum one, I think.
Makes Bieber's...
He said you couldn't hear a damn thing. There was no point.
It makes Bieber's hour-and-a-half set tonight downright Springsteenian.
An hour and a half.
I know. Can you imagine?
People are actually going to sit through that for an hour and a half.
Stéphane Giroux from CTV was live tweeting the whole thing.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
And he's a big rock and roll guy. I mean,
45 seconds into the halftime show yesterday, I was already wishing for death to take me.
It was rough.
Yeah.
It was rough.
I was waiting. I was hoping for some sort of infection, so I had to leave and go to the clinic.
When I went back after getting back from Grumpy's and they were re-airing the Grey Cup, I think I watched about a minute of it. Of Bieber, that is. I mean, wow. He's Usher.
You know what was
He's
just as
to be
bad?
Usher. It's just Usher.
Do you know what was just as bad?
Do you not agree with that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, well, yeah, everybody's Usher. And Usher is Michael Jackson, right?
There you go.
And Michael Jackson is James Brown. And
Michael Jackson. No, he's not.
Yes, he
is. He wishes he was James Brown.
Well, yeah,
James
but that's
Brown
what it is.
It's the consummate showman.
But it's a generational thing. Everything comes from something else, right?
Fair enough.
Right.
Who are you?
Me? I don't even know what I am. It's, you know, but you can hear the influences when I speak. You know, you hear the George Carlin. You hear the, you know, the Louis C.K. You know, those are my inspirations for the way that things should be said.
Ah.
But getting back to what I was saying, you know what was just as bad as Justin Bieber? Was Burton Cummings doing the O Canada.
Yeah, that...
with the drum track and the organ. It sounded like my great-aunt's organ that I used to go down to see in the East End. She'd start playing, oh, we're going to play the organ. Oh, here we go. Like, oh, God, this is going to happen.
Wasn't he sitting?
He was sitting. He was...
Who sits for a national anthem?
Uninterested.
Unless you're B.B. King.
Yeah.
You stand up for that national anthem.
Oh, whatever. I don't even stand up for the national. I don't care about the national anthem, but it was just so embarrassing.
Jay, when you're performing,
he said,
"O Canada at the Grey Cup." I hope you'll stand.
When I when he knew he was even doing the lyrics from the 70s.
What do you mean?
He did the wrong lyrics in the song.
No, he screwed up the lyrics. Those weren't the lyrics from the 70s.
Oh, whatever.
He fully screwed up the lyrics.
It was just terrible. That was worse than Justin Bieber.
Although, to be fair,
at least Bieber remembered to lip sync his lyrics properly.
To be fair, Jay, we are the only people in Canada who sing that anthem properly.
Who?
Quebecers.
Because we sing it in French, and originally it was written in French.
With the English verse thrown in for good measure.
Thrown in, yeah. It's the English verse that actually doesn't have the right to be there. Originally, it is a French song.
Oh, yeah, let's make that fight tonight.
But it's true. It was written by the St. Jean-Baptiste Society, believe it or not.
Calixte Lavallée.
That's right. In Quebec City. For Canada Day, or whatever it was. And, yeah, so whatever. Anyways, national anthems have no business being at sports venues anyway. No purpose.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Nationalism has nothing to do with sports, right?
No,
let's bring back our conversation
it's sectarianism.
Let's bring back our conversation from last week about... We just started this segment by saying we weren't going to talk about Gaza.
It's virtual.
Here we are.
It's virtual sectarianism. That's all. It's kind of like why people watch the UFC. It's an old form of gladiator showmanship.
But so much of this UFC rah-rah patriotism is go GSP and he's representing Canada.
Yeah.
Or here representing
Not for me.
Quebec.
I'm a Montreal patriot. I don't care about Canada or Quebec or anything like that. I like Montreal. Why? Because it's people I can relate to.
By the way,
that I know in my community.
Somebody stop me
I don't
on
care
the street,
about anybody
this
from
week,
Alberta. What?
I was stopped on the street
yes.
regarding my co-host. This
yes.
week.
Oh, no.
Did that guy really say that he wanted Mitt Romney to win?
Really? Somebody said that to you.
And this is this is both the great thing and the problem with radio, right? You turn on at a certain point and you only catch from that point on.
Ah, yes. So it's almost like the social media thing we're talking about where they didn't quite get my sarcasm.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Although it wasn't really sarcasm. I really wanted him to win, but not because I like him.
And let me just go back to that point briefly.
Yes.
Because I think what I was trying to say, I can't remember if it was to Jerry or to Andrew.
Yes.
I think it was to Jerry.
Yeah.
But if you do text message,
yes,
then you catch on to these things a little quicker.
Yes, you do. Yeah, you get a feel for it. Yeah, you get a feel for it. You kind of understand the lingo a little bit better.
I feel like that got lost a bit in what I was trying to say, and it wasn't that I'd say it gives you a leg up on how to get your point across without seeming too smarmy or something.
Yeah, snarky.
That's a big one, too.
Snarky. Yeah, whatever.
I'm definitely way more sarcastic on social media than I am in real life.
Yeah. Burton Cummings. This is a damn shame. I like the Guess Who, you know?
Well,
back when they were relevant.
That's it. Yeah. I mean,
Gordon Lightfoot, too. It's like either the performers were either just too old or too young on the show. That was the problem.
Yeah, that middle ground.
God almighty. Where's the hip when you need them? There you are.
Touring,
okay.
Touring, making money.
I'm trying to think of other Canadian acts that
crap about. Sam Roberts played the outdoor festival outside the Grey Cup.
Yeah,
Lady
yeah.
Peace played the outdoor festival outside the Grey Cup.
Yeah.
I think Kanon was there as well.
Yeah.
Solid who's who of Canadian music performed that weekend, just not during the halftime show.
Yeah.
So good for Toronto. They had a bit more, they had a bit of a show.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. There just seems something, even in the media, when I was watching some of the highlights, and, you know, you watch the morning shows, and you watch the highlights on TSN, and the people out on the street, and it seems so contrived. I don't know that it was as successful as they were making it out to be.
Were you managing the bar when the Grey Cup was here last?
Yes.
What was the experience for you that weekend?
Crazy. We had to shut down the kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was. It was crazy, but we happened to be in a part of town where
the big parties were going on.
Where
the
big parties were going.
The street.
That's right. They were in Place du Canada and Dominion Square.
See, for me, it's the last Grey Cup was what? 2008 in Montreal? Something like that?
Nine? I think it was 2009.
Okay. There was one before that. I want to say 2002, 2003. John, feel free to know. Yes?
2008.
Thank you. 2008.
All right. Feels
2009, the Alouettes won in Saskatchewan.
That's right. Okay. So it was 2008.
Good for them.
Thank you, John.
I think it was 2002 or 2003, the one that was in Montreal before that. And I felt very Canadian that weekend. There was this wonderful moment where after the Grey Cup at Hurley's Irish Pub, suddenly everybody in the bar can hear that there's just a craziness going on outside. And we go outside and there are Scottish bagpipe regiment type ridiculousness marching down Crescent Street. And it turned into, well, back then we called it a parade. Nowadays people would probably call it a protest. Except there were no cops.
The bagpipes are better than pots and pans, believe me.
Well, at 3 in the morning on a Sunday, that's
you know what's funny,
though?
The pub doesn't get any kind
of Scots?
Well, we get plenty of Scots, believe me. No, we don't get any kind of we don't get a lot of people coming out to watch the Grey Cup. Everybody's there to watch the NFL.
Yeah,
nobody cares.
I watched it there a few years ago.
Even when the Alouettes are in it,
that was
we don't get any.
The last time I watched the Grey Cup at McLean's, the Alouettes were playing.
Yeah, and there were hardly anybody there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
people like to stay home for the Grey Cup, watch Justin Bieber in the comfort of their living rooms, so that the bathroom is close when they have to puke when it's all done.
Nickelback or Bieber?
Burton Cummings.
Nickelback or
Nickelback.
Bieber?
Of course Nickelback. It's not even close.
Wow.
How is that even an option?
Does Celine Dion make the trifecta?
Celine Dion. Listen.
Is that like
there's talent. There's talent and there's no talent.
Which
Nickelback,
one?
At least they can play instruments. They write their songs. They play, you know, whatever. Celine Dion, whatever you say about Celine Dion, she has a fantastic voice. She sounds great. Justin Bieber is just, he's stealing our air to breathe.
Oh my God.
That's what he's doing. He's everything what's wrong with society and kids.
Jimmy, can I get some computer love, please? Let's see if we can make this work.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's Bieber covering the hip.
That Burton Cummings? Bieber's doing the hip?
Bieber covering...
Right, we shut that off, please.
...covering Weak Kings by the Hip at the MTV Awards in, like, I think...
All right,
Indonesia,
I like the intention. You know what? It's not a bad intention.
Oh, just turn it down.
Turn it, please. Yes, tip it, God.
Hey, me.
You know what? Every generation has had that kid. You know, we had New Kids on the Block and things like that. You know, and you had Backstreet Boys, I guess. For me, it was New Kids
on
the Block.
I had Backstreet Boys?
Yeah, you're a little bit younger, aren't you? Oh, no, I guess it was the same. You had New Kids on the Block. Whatever. I mean, we all have that
New
crap.
New Kids on the Block.
It started, you know, it started with the Beatles, actually. This kind of crap started with the Beatles.
It
continued with the Monkees.
With Elvis Presley.
Yeah. But, you know, it was different back then. They had talent. And then it became more and more of a production thing. Like, you know.
But there was an equal amount. I refuse to believe that. There was an equal amount of crap back then as well. There's
yeah.
always been that.
Yeah, anything written by Neil Sedaka. I mean, you know, but it's true. It's true. There's always been pop. Pop has always existed in various forms. Just the crap that they throw out to make money. You know, a machine, the factory building up this crap. And that's what Justin Bieber is, you know. But then you see some of the old guys and it looks like they're corrupted too, you know. It's just, I don't know. I don't listen to music anymore anyway.
Well, poor you. I don't know where I'd be without music. And there's a big part of me that thinks it's better that people are listening to Justin Bieber than not listening to anything. At least the message in the music isn't awful. It's not violent. He's not Chris Brown.
Yeah.
And the kid knows the hip. So how can I hate him?
Okay.
I think there are
worse. I don't hate him. I just hate what he represents.
What?
I don't care.
Somebody young and successful?
You mean that if he... Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why else?
I hate him. I'm jealous that he's young and successful, and he, because he's cute, you know? I mean,
he gets all the girls?
He gets all the girls.
That too, John Kakalakis.
And I hate that. And I hate that. And the rest of us are all working our asses off. And I'm sitting here looking at you three. Jesus.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. Why are we talking about this right now?
Because
you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
You love that Jay's on a rant.
And because there's no hockey.
And
we're allowed.
There's no hockey. Oh, God.
You want us to call in a mediator?
Yes.
Will that make life better for you?
Yes. Where is the guy who has a fetish for Sarah Silverman?
Right here.
You too, huh? You too.
Who doesn't?
Ah, not me. Yes.
Okay. What young Jewish male doesn't?
Okay. Okay. Fine.
She is a very funny lady.
She is actually funny. Yes, I enjoy her comedy.
I don't know how many...
I don't find her very hot, but I enjoy her comedy.
I don't know how often I could retweet her without losing my job or having some very dirty stuff published in the New York Times obituary, in my New York Times obituary.
Ah, there it is. Yeah. You're thinking about that New York Times obituary.
Continuity,
again.
Jay.
No. Okay.
You know what? I'm frankly still thinking about the New York Times crossword. You ever do those?
Yeah, I get about 3 seconds in and I just get tired. It hurts my brain.
See, I do that sometimes, but then I go back to it an hour later and I get something else. Then I go back to an hour later and I get another few more. And I think to myself, did I not read these questions the first time around?
Yeah, sometimes things pop in your head at, you know, different times of the day. It depends. If you think too much about something, you'll never get the answer to it.
Speaking of, let's take a break.
Yes.
All right.
Wow, saliva. I'm like Burton Cummings singing last night. I don't know what to say anymore. Little lyrics.
I wish you were going out on like No Sugar Tonight or something right now.
For my coffee. No sugar tonight for my tea. What a crap song that is, too.
You're listening to the Farrar Show. We'll be right back.
Sorry.
Teenage trash. She always found a 5 or 2 hidden in a stash. She's so young.
Yeah. We're back. It's the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. So Young by the Rolling Stones off the Some Girls B-Sides. Was that a snort, Mr. F?
Yeah, well, they weren't talking about themselves, were they?
No, I think they were trying, they were talking about his conquest for the night, actually.
Did you pick up my snort there? Okay.
I did. It was befitting the Rolling Stones talking about a girl who's so young.
Right.
This is kind of the sequel to Stray Cat Blues. It's no hanging matter, it's no capital crime. The reason that I play this song for you right now, ladies and gentlemen, was an article that was posted in the Oregonian. That's right, we read them all. The Rolling Stones' average age is older than that of the Supreme Court justices of the United States of America. The vaunted institution that used to be called the Nine Old Men are actually younger than the Stones. The Supreme Court justices' average age is 66 years and 364 days. The Stones, and a kick in their ass, 68 years, 297 days. I guess when you're that age, you can charge whatever you want for tickets, huh? Jimmy, we're good. Let's talk some hoops with Max Kerman. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. We're going to bring in our next guest right now. He is our NBA correspondent, but we're going to shift gears tonight and talk a little NCAA basketball with Max Kerman. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I'm feeling rested. We just got home from the tour on Thursday, and I've just been hanging out. It's been
amazing.
Nice.
Amazing. Finally, nice to be back on Canadian soil, huh?
Yeah, the 3G, you know, my phone plan is rocking. It's not terribly expensive anymore. Get to see old friends. Yeah, it's been nice.
Oh, I bet, you know, I can't even imagine what your cell phone bill is. This is a trial and error thing, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah, you know, it's actually cheaper just to get an American phone and just to have an American phone number. And because the plans down there are really cheap and you can call anywhere in North America for like a flat fee of like $40. So it's not too bad.
I'll have to think about investing. Anyway, in the meantime, nobody had heard of Jack Taylor before last week, but there's this kid for a school that probably most people haven't heard of either, Grinnell in Iowa. He scored 138 points in a basketball game.
Yes, it's an absurd story. And yeah, it's been kind of fun to see the back and forth between you know, some of the NBA players who love it and some of the sports writers who seem to hate it. It's been kind of an interesting debate. Where do you stand on it, Dave?
Well, I'll tell you. First of all, my mind went to video games. It went to back in the day when I used to play video games and had a Sega Dreamcast and got Sharif Abdur-Rahim to score 100 and something points for me as a Vancouver Grizzly. So that's honestly, this just feels like a video game came to life, and I feel like the coach maybe has a very different way of looking at how to coach a basketball game than most coaches do. And every once in a while, you see things like this in sports. That being said, do I think it's a bad thing? Not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I think my take on it is that we're talking about a Division III basketball game. The school that he goes to has about 350 kids. It's kind of the level of competition that you'd see in a competitive rec league game at the YMCA, you know, down the street from you.
That bad?
And, you know, well, it's not, no, I mean...
Or is that just a testament to how good the YMCA basketball is?
No, I mean, you know, if you go see a competitive rec league, you know, those guys are all probably played either Canadian hoops or Division II or Division III hoops, and they're just, you know, they're playing as a Monday night. I don't think the competition is, like, at least relatively speaking, is that, like, significant on, like, a basketball level. So I really just think it's a cute story, and it's an opportunity for a talented, yet relatively speaking, limited basketball player to get a little spotlight for 48 hours. And I'm kind of surprised the vitriol that he and his coach are getting, you know, for going through with a game plan like that and sort of mercilessly playing defense when they didn't need to. I think, you know, the one thing that I was looking for is to see how the opposing coach reacted and how he reacted after the game. And he said, no, we played as hard as we could. You know, we were playing really difficult defense on him. He just kept scoring, and the opposing coach wasn't offended. The other team, like his players, weren't offended. I think, there's something that's always sort of bothered me in sports when you get these purists who treat the game as if it's like, you know, an ultra serious religion, mm-hmm. and they talk about the purity of the sport, and they talk about, you know, how it disrespects the game. And I always find whenever that concept comes up, or, you know, those words are strung together in a sentence about, you know, disrespecting our sports, or, you know, as far as I can tell, the opposing coach wasn't offended. None of the players were injured. It's a cute, you know, once in a decade kind of story, if that. And, you know, I'm not particularly offended about it. But, I mean, my question, I have a question for you, Dave. What did he make of, do you remember a couple of years ago when A-Rod was running the bases and
Howie
yelled,
Clark.
Yeah.
I thought of this not too long ago. That's funny that you bring it up. Where he yelled, I got it. And there was I think his name was Howie Clark, the fringe Blue Jays minor leaguer at the time that had been called up. And I thought it was Bush League. Because of any great... you know, traditions in the sport of baseball. Baseball's all about that kind of crap, but it doesn't mean that I didn't think it was a Bush League move.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that didn't offend me as much as it defended. I mean, like, I like the term Bush League, and I think that, you know, there are definitely some Bush League plays, but, you know, I don't like the idea that it disrespected the game or that, you know, he was just trying to have a competitive advantage, and that's, like, I think part of sports.
I would feel if it had been Derek Jeter and not A-Rod, because A-Rod has been so branded as this jerk, whereas if it was Jeter, you know that, and again, back to branding, Jeter is pretty much the closest thing there is to God in Major League Baseball right now.
Totally, yeah. No, I mean, I definitely agree with you that part of the reaction to A-Rod doing it was just the fact that it was A-Rod. But, you know, I always feel that, like, sometimes, you know, people, like sports fans, like, take it almost, like, a little too seriously. And, you know, I saw some of the sports writers calling it a sham and calling, you know, 138 points, like, you know, not even basketball. And I just think that, you know, these people need to, like, lighten up a little bit. Because we all know the facts. This kid is 5'10". He wasn't recruited anywhere. If you put him in a game, you know, against Indiana or against Kentucky, well, first of all, he wouldn't even make it onto the floor.
Right.
And if he did, he'd get the ball stripped from him every single time. He wouldn't score a single point. So it's like we're getting up in arms about something that, like, really isn't that important to the game on a grand level in any meaningful way.
No, except for the whole, this is something that I guess kids dream of. And whether it's, you know, score every goal in a hockey game and, you know, the Maurice Richard score 5 goals and win the game 5-1, or, and I guess in basketball, it's this. And now he didn't put up every point, but it was damn close.
Yeah.
When Kobe scored 81 against Toronto a few years ago, there was none of this.
What, the reaction to Kobe's performance?
Yeah, it wasn't that Kobe was hogging the ball, and that it was Kobe was hot, and wow, I got to see Kobe Bryant put up 81 points.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the time, I'd say, you know, when you're watching college hoops especially, you know, I think there's a real reward for teamwork. I think that's the type of play that we see most of the time. So, like, the fact that it happened once, I think the last time somebody scored that many points, well, not that many points, but the second highest total was like 89 points or something, from that particular school that happened, I think, in the last decade. You know, it happens once in a while. It's a cute story, and then it goes away, and we go back to watching, like, real basketball. I don't know. Like, the whole thing is just, like, a cute thing, and, you know, for Jack Taylor, the fact that LeBron James knows his name, or Kevin Durant, you know, tweeted at him, I think that's a nice thing. You know, this kid is not going to play organized basketball after he's done his career at a Division III school. So, you know, I don't think it hurt anybody. I think there would have been more issue if the opposing coach had a problem with it, mm-hmm. if the opposing team was so defeated. Like, you know, this is not like me playing against a bunch of 6-year-olds or something, and I'm a hell of a basketball player by that. You know what I mean? It's you know, how many points did the other team score? They scored 100 plus.
I'll tell you, the other team, they were called Faith Baptist, and their star player, David Larson, had 70 points. He went 34 for 44 from the floor.
Even better stats.
Yeah.
Yeah, so whatever. Let's move on. I think what I would say is for the old curmudgeon sports writers, you know, get off your rocking chair and, you know, go write about something that's, you know, actually important. And this isn't really a news story. I'd say keep your old man opinions to yourself.
Well, they're writing about how Mike Trout doesn't deserve the MVP award, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And they're voting for Mitt Romney, Max.
They are. But you know what? There's a whole other bunch of people who managed to kick Rob Ford out of office today in Toronto.
I know. So the question is, who's going to be the next mayor? Is it going to be Anthopoulos or Strombo?
Yeah, I think it's Anthopoulos right now. His approval rating is through the roof, so I think he'd be a pretty safe bet.
Well, you followed him on the show tonight, Max.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I'm honored. He opened for me.
That's right. He was the opening act for you, exactly. You opened for Lights, and he opened for you.
Yeah, that's music biz speak for you, you and your listeners.
Now, speaking of music biz speak, March 1st, Corona Theater, Arkells.
Yeah, we're going to be in your town. It's going to be great. We should give you some tickets or something. You can do some giveaways.
Yeah, we will definitely do that. Will there be a tour in advance, or are you going to come hang out in Montreal for a while?
Yeah, I think we're going to be in Peterborough the night before, so we'll just get to Montreal. We'll have a night out. It'll be great.
Sounds fantastic. Looking forward to it, my friend.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for talking a little college hoops tonight. We mixed it up a bit. We could have gone on this Oklahoma-Charlotte game. I don't know if you saw the score.
No, what's the score?
Well, I will full disclosure to our audience. Max and I are pre-taping this interview right now, but with 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter, Oklahoma City has a 114-69 lead.
Oh, wow. Okay, it's a real nail-biter.
Yeah, it's a real nail-biter, and frankly, the only reason it's gotten anywhere this respectable, and it's funny that I think that a 114-69 score is respectable, Charlotte had 24 points in the first half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a lot of work to do.
They do. They do. And we will gloss over the Raptors and their double overtime loss. And hopefully next week when we reconvene, the Raptors will have played a little bit better of a week of basketball.
Hopefully next week when we reconvene, Calder and Abarnione are going to be not on the Toronto Raptors anymore. That's what I'm hoping for.
We'll call that the big prediction, and we'll end on that. Max Kerman, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Talk to you soon.
Catch you soon. Thanks to Max Kerman from Arkells. Get your tickets. March 1st, Corona Theater. Listen to the Kaufman Show, and we'll be right back.
off in the north. Let's take it to the nth degree. Here he goes, give me $10 and a head start. Here's where he goes, the puzzle's pulling apart. And here's the scene, you're yelling calmly up the street. Are we family or what?
And we're back. It's the Kaufman Show. I'm Dave. That's Jay. He's sitting right over there. This being a very, this is television, right? Welcome back to the telecast.
Welcome back to the telecast, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you so much for tuning in this evening.
Brought to you by Imperial Oil. Chesterfield cigarettes. And polio. Let's go back to the phones. 514-790-1690.
Charlie Watts
is the coolest dude on the planet.
So old that he
How old is he?
He was alive when Pearl Harbor was invaded. That's how old Charlie Watts is. And the guy's playing drums.
I think
Sorry. Did we have...
What is that? December 7th, 1942? I'm pretty sure we've got listeners.
1941. Don't you remember?
Sorry. A date that will live in infamy.
Let's check on the ticker.
Podcast. Hey, so I'm off by a year. The Conrad, I'm sure, remembers it vividly. If he's up right now, we'd love to hear his Pearl Harbor
Conrad?
Story.
Oh, yeah. Conrad is like Charlie Watts' dad or something.
Charlie Watts is the coolest.
Is he?
Yeah. Nobody plays drums like him. He barely breaks a sweat. The guy is.
He really does it. He's
amazing.
So calm. His facial expression is just stone faced throughout the entire thing. It's so funny.
He's
his
a jazz
bottom
drummer.
Lip. Yeah, his exactly.
He's a jazz drummer.
That's exactly what he is. His bottom lip sticking out, just so calm. He might as well have like those little the little broom things, the little duster things while he's playing. You know.
There's a song that we've been playing semi regularly on the show by Howlin' Wolf called Wang Dang Doodle. And every time I hear that song, all I can think is that Charlie Watts heard this at some point and went, I want to play drums like that.
Yeah.
Because that song just screams Charlie Watts to me.
Well, the Stones love Howlin' Wolf. I mean, you'd always see it. Howlin' Wolf would be performing and you'd see all of Mick and Keith sitting there in the audience, you know, sitting around
well,
in a circle.
Back in the day, in England, the African American musicians got a lot more respect in England than they did in the States.
Yes, they did.
At that time. So,
hence the British invasion.
Well, yeah, exactly. It was a bunch of white kids coming over to the States to play the music that had already been exported by old black men.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful story about the Stones meeting Muddy Waters at the Chess Studios in Chicago, I think 1964. And they walk in and he's painting the damn ceiling, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like a major moment for Keith Richards, the idea that his hero, nobody gave a damn about. The guy was at Chess, but he was painting the ceiling.
Right.
It's messed up. Messed up. Why isn't there a Stones recording studio like the way that I went to the Hips recording studio? Why isn't there just one spot? That the
I don't know. Do they even get together to record anymore, or do they just record their part and then somebody mixes it?
I do a little bit.
You know, I've been getting a lot of flack lately for my I've been tweeting a lot about the Stones lately. They're touring. They had their first show last night. I think it's pretty damn cool.
That they're touring?
That they're touring, that they're playing.
Or they're charging $5 million a ticket.
If it wasn't $800 a ticket, I would...
How much money do you need? How much money do you... You're so old. I mean, why don't you enjoy the last 10 minutes of your life and give people a chance who are a little bit underprivileged to see you?
Jay, how much money do you need, man?
I don't need any money. I'm serious when I say I don't care about money. I never have and I never will. I don't. I just don't.
Honestly, man, I like the Stones, so I like money. You can take your Beatles and your Can't Buy Me Love crap, but I like the Stones. This is from last night at the O2 Arena with Mick Taylor. Hold on, Jimmy. Bring it down for me for a second. We're going to bring it back up. I want to move it a little forward. see if we can find a good spot here. Well, honestly, the sound isn't great, so we're going to turn it down, but Stones playing in a sold-out O2 Arena last night.
It's because they're 70 years old.
Brought on Mick Taylor,
yeah,
who was the guitarist who replaced Brian Jones after Jones died in 69.
Oh, they brought on Mick Taylor, yeah.
And then they also brought back Bill Wyman.
I was going to ask. Player. Now, Bill Wyman,
yeah,
he's really old.
Yes. Bill Wyman was born in the 30s, I believe.
Yes, he was. Yeah. He was born in 1936.
Whoa, how do you... Whoa.
So that
whoa,
would make
Jason's
him...
studying his Stones.
Yes.
And you all, I wish you were all here to see the look that Jay just shot me.
Yes. I know my music.
And continues to shoot at me, yes.
I know my music. And all I know is that Bill Wyman is... You talk about a guy who didn't move on stage. Talk about a statue. That guy was a statue.
Yeah, has anybody ever held their bass that high in the history of ever?
No. He's practically playing it with his teeth. You know, it's amazing. Anyway.
Remember when he left the band?
Yeah.
Do you remember why? You know,
because he was old. Or no, what, did he get in some trouble?
Right. I think he wanted to settle down with his wife.
Yeah, his 14-year-old wife.
Who had just turned 18.
it's Jerry Lee Lewis's ex-wife.
Back to our She's So Young. Yeah, I like those guys.
The Stones
though.
Are still bad boys.
That's it. And you can take your Beatles, and I'll take the Stones.
I don't even know why there's a comparison between the two of them. But
because
anyway.
They're both British.
Completely different.
Oh,
completely
yeah.
Different.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Max Harris on Twitter, Max the Guru. As I'm sure you know, I was born in a crossfire hurricane was a nod to World War II. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Max.
Jay, I was
of course,
born.
Knew it. No, this is not turning into the. No, this is not the karaoke show. Wow.
Bum, 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 bum.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will be cutting this out of the podcast. That's enough, Mr. Ferrar. Let's go back to the phones. 514-790-1690. Once again, I profusely apologize for that.
For what?
Well, I don't know what we call that. Let's go to Mike and St. Leonard.
Better than Justin Bieber.
Baby. Hey, Mike, save me.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm losing control.
You know what happened? Was it Bill Wyman's who's... eldest son married his 19-year-old daughter's mom, I think.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it good to be the Rolling Stones? I mean,
100 points if you remember the name of the girl.
No, I will not get those points.
I think it was Mandy Smith, but
okay.
Somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
You know, that's what's good about being the Rolling Stones. You can basically do whatever you want. And
they do, yeah.
Everyone just thinks it's cool, and they laugh. If that happened in real life, people would be so ashamed. But, you know, when you're in the Rolling Stones, everything's good. I mean, that's why I think people still love them. I mean, they'll still be bad boys until the day they die, I guess, you know?
I read somebody this week that said that the Stones have basically been profiting off a reunion tour for the last 30 years of their career, which I think is really interesting. And what a great business model. Like, how do we figure that out?
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know if that's really fair. Even in the last few albums they've released, there's always at least one or two tracks that really get me. Like the song they just released, what was it, last
Doom
month?
And Gloom. Fantastic song.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? They still have it. I mean, I don't...
I'm with you, man. There are a few tracks on the one before that I really like as
yeah.
well. And, you know, I like Love is Strong. I think that's a really good song.
It goes back
Mixed
to,
Emotions is a pretty good song considering it's from the 80s.
Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes when you look at reviewers, they have that same curmudgeon attitude as sports writers, I guess, when they get to a certain age.
Oh,
certain,
do you find?
Certain Mr. What's his name in the Gazette?
I don't know, and it doesn't matter.
Bernie
Oh, ouch. Yeah. Ouch, wow.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to read about them, you know. I'll listen to the music, and when it's good, it's good. I don't
what
care
did
how
Bernie
old they
Parousse
are.
Ever do to you?
You know what he did? Remember that night after the Junos when he...
I remember that night.
Remember that now.
Yeah, I do remember that.
What happened? What happened?
There was an issue with Hey Rosetta, actually, a band that we played earlier tonight, which... Oh. Yeah, and it was a great... It was Thank You by Hey Rosetta,
that's
a fantastic
right.
song. And, yeah, he did not agree with our views of that
well,
song.
After that, I thought he was fit to be a roadie and wash their clothes after the show if he wanted to. Well, that's basically
it's,
about
you know what,
what
though,
I
it's
thought
so,
of his opinion.
But that's the thing with music, right? I mean, there's a band called the Darcys. We had one of the members of the band on several months ago. And a great, great band out of Toronto, critically acclaimed. Mm-hmm. And The Link destroyed them in a review last week or a couple of weeks ago. They were in Montreal. I think they were at Casa del Popolo.
Okay.
And the Link just tore them to shreds.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, but you know, one man's this is another man's that,
this
right?
Is true.
So
one man's Rolling Stones is another man's Beatles.
Sure, or yeah. One man's, but more like one man's Rolling Stones, another man's Herman's Hermits. You know, it all depends. It's all context, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And you're gonna have a bunch of girls tonight who think that Justin Bieber is the greatest musician of all time. And frankly, if you even try to debate them, you're not going to win that fight.
But they haven't reached the age of reason yet. So, I mean, you have to get, and yeah, you know, but I agree with you when it comes to criticism, and it's so, how do you like sit there and write an article about how bad a band is?
Yeah.
When you,
it's,
I mean,
tough. It's tough. I mean, do you guys see that restaurant review for Guy Fieri's restaurant in New York?
I saw that.
Restaurant review is different. I mean, if your food is crap, your food is crap.
No, but that went like, that was apocalyptic.
Okay.
You know what that is, Dave, though? Like a preconception of a certain guy, and you see him on TV, and, you know, there's, you know, like in every industry, but especially in the food industry, you have a snobbery on a certain end that just will not allow people to get through that door. But on the other side, he has tons of fans who absolutely love his food.
Right.
And so it's not even a question of really honest opinion. I think it's of preconceived ideas. I don't think they ever went in there to be surprised about how good it could ever have been. I think they were going to nail him no matter what.
I think that a lot of that, I think a lot of that, Mike, is sensationalism.
Which
is not something that you'd normally accuse the New York Times of doing.
That is true.
But, you know, it's out there. And you know, that was awesome. That sound, by the way, was Jay smacking his head on the microphone.
Oh, jeez. Where am I?
I don't know.
How did I get here?
You love Justin Bieber.
Honestly, Jay's a step off tonight. That Bieber show really messed with his mind.
Yeah, you know what I was.
This is why, honestly,
and I'm being completely honest. Yep. It's the first time I've ever seen him sing.
For sure.
It's the first time I've ever seen it.
I was gonna call in to say that. I mean, it's been like a roast all night. Justin Bieber roast. I mean, I love it.
Dave's letting me go tonight. I don't know what's happening.
Mike,
he's sitting back and enjoying the show.
I figured out, Mike, we're going to hell.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. So we might as well smile about it.
Oh, because Justin Bieber. It's true. Yeah.
Listen, I have Justin Bieber fans in my
He's
own
in
home.
Good with Jesus.
And you have kids, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and you know what it is? As a marketing thing, it's gold. It was gold for them.
Sure.
My middle daughter, she's 10, and she watched it. And then after that, she continued to watch the game and started asking questions about the football game.
Okay, but that must have made you so happy as a father, right?
Yeah, but you know what? Then I thought to myself, at first I was like everyone else, I thought, oh my God, Justin Bieber. But then after seeing that, I kind of understood that, you know, marketing-wise, the CFL, as much crap as they take on a certain level, they've been able to run a successful league. I mean, they don't have lockouts, you know? Let's be honest. They know how to control their economics. They know what they have, and they're trying to do the best with it, and they make it work somehow.
It's because their slaves haven't revolted yet. That's the problem.
No, I'm sorry, but if the CFL locked out
their players, what would
the entire team makes less than what many of the players make. It's apples and oranges.
But you have to know what you have, right?
It's cantaloupes and grapes is what it is. It's a massive difference.
You know, sometimes, you know, you eat it moist, and sometimes you eat it Ponderosa. I mean, you can't have it all, you know?
No, you can't have it all. But, I mean, just the thought of comparing the NHL and the CFL, which is why I frankly find it quite comical when they talk about how vaunted the CFL is for the Canadian identity. I mean,
yeah, that
give me
much,
a little bit of a break. And I get that in places where there isn't NHL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, Saskatchewan is
like Green Bay.
The Rough Riders.
Yeah.
Right. It's like Green Bay, exactly.
Yeah. I hope one day...
don't group me in with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm...
Exactly.
Don't group me in with that.
I hope one day somebody will explain to me what the hell exactly is a Canadian identity. I wish somebody would explain that to me one day. I just want to know exactly what the Canadian identity is.
It's an American traveling through Europe with our flag on his knapsack.
That's the Canadian identity.
Oui, monsieur.
Wow. I see.
Wow. That's classic.
Something to be proud of.
You know what, Jay, you were on to something before as well, too, when it comes to nationality and nationalism and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Nationalism's a terrible religion, and the fact of the matter is that search for the identity and trying to get people to have that one train of thought so badly is not necessary. It doesn't help. It doesn't make you happier. It's artificial.
It's artificial. It's a vehicle of propaganda.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
And I don't think Canadians, as soon as Canadians realize that they don't have to buy into it, they're even better off, you know? And I think most of us are at that place where, you know, we know we're not Americans, we know we're not Europeans, but we just have to live here in peace. And there are certain things that we will not give up, like health care. We're not interested in blowing up every country on Earth or occupying nations. There's a few things that most of us generally feel the same about, even, you know, throughout the West.
Coast
to
coast.
Besides that, we don't need to be going around with it on our heart and our flag. And that propaganda, when I look at the way Americans look at things, certain things, they have bought that full line and sinker.
But again, that's not them, though. That's the media. You know that the average American isn't Fox Newsing it up all the way home. That represents a certain sect and a certain part.
Yeah, but they have a pride. I mean, how could you be proud of something that you are virtually by accident? I mean, that's all it is. You're lucky. Yeah. If anything, I'm lucky to be an American, or I'm lucky to be a Canadian.
Right.
You're
lucky. That's
because you're you know, especially if you're white. You know, I mean, you were born in a place. Yeah. Especially if you're white. You just
right,
count your lucky charms.
Right.
Yeah, count your lucky charms. You're a white guy born in the West. You couldn't have it better. You could have, but there's no pride involved. You didn't achieve anything by doing this. You know, it's like people who are proud to have children.
But we also
anybody can have a kid.
We live in a day and age now where we know that no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, you can make it. I mean, there is a black man from Kenya that is the president of the United States right now.
Yeah.
Born in Kenya.
We're still very far away.
But,
we're
so still, if I tweeted,
I still wouldn't trade places
I'm sorry,
with him.
But
by the way,
if I had tweeted that, you all would have known I was sarcastic.
Yeah,
that went over like, wow, wow. We're gonna have to edit in a sarcastic symbol.
See
after
what I
that.
Told you about being creative there, Dave?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying. Okay.
Planet.
I'm
trying.
Just to let you know before we let you go, Mike. Mandy Smith was her name. Is her name.
Perfect. Are they still married?
Not a chance. they got married.
He adopted her.
They got married. He left the band in 1989 when the Stones released Steel Wheels. Mm-hmm. Right after, I believe. They got married in 89. They divorced in 1991.
And she took $50 million?
It doesn't say what she took here.
Nice.
But she had a musical career.
What?
Ish. She had some success in parts of Asia and Australia.
Wow.
And in 1994, she won Rear of the Year, an award for her posterior.
Oh, that's how you end up being to a Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
That helps.
See, that's something you'd be proud of.
Yeah, that's something
Forget your country. Be proud of your ass.
She published her biography, It's All Over Now, in 1993.
You know what? Looking
You're,
back
that's
at
That's too young.
Tape,
you should not be 23 and publishing a biography. That seems ridiculous.
She's seen things we don't even want to know. But going back to Bill Wyman,
yes.
I mean, looking at the old tapes, this guy is actually a really good bassist.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like you said, he's like a statue, and he had, like, no emotion on his face. It looked like he never wanted to be there. But, man, he could play.
Oh, man.
Those guys can play.
Go turn up the bass in Jumpin' Jack Flash or in Sympathy or in, Paint It Black. That's, Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, and not to take away, Daryl Jones is fantastic. He's been with that band 20 years now. I feel like he should get his due.
That's true. And you know who else was in that band for a little bit on tour was that famous American Idol judge. What's his name?
No,
Randy Jackson.
No, he was not.
Oh, yeah. Check some of the old videos. He was working with them.
Wasn't that with Tina Turner?
Oh, no. He's done a lot of. He's worked with the Rolling Stones, too.
Really?
Now you have to respect him. Sad.
Oh, wow.
Sad day.
God, you always got to end off our show by making me learn something begrudgingly,
sad.
Eh?
Sad, eh?
Mike, thanks so much for the time, eh?
Great show last week, too, eh?
Thank you very much. Thank you. We will
keep
building
work.
And going forward.
Yeah, that's it. All right, have a good evening, guys.
Thank you. Good night. Let's go back. We've got Sonny in Côte Saint-Luke. Hello, Sonny.
Hello, good evening.
How are you, sir?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Great.
I just tuned in the last 5 minutes of your conversation with Ella Valentine.
Oh, good. I hope you enjoyed it.
And I was very, very sorry I missed him because I was just wondering, is he still dealing with children, with drugs, with that?
Yeah, he does. He works as a counselor, and I believe he's associated with the church in the Dallas area, and he spends most of his time helping people at risk, kids, and helping youth and mentoring. And, you know, I have nothing but wonderful things to say about this man.
I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
The reason that I wanted to know, he lived, when he was, the first, second, or third year, he lived in the townhouses in Côte Saint-Luke one summer. And his patio was by the pool. And I went with my family with the pool, and all of a sudden, at that time, he injured his leg. He wasn't playing. I take a look, who's staying at the patio? That was Valentine. Anyways, I walked over to him. The nicest gentleman. First thing he did right away, come inside, we'll have a beer. And we started to talk, and he was telling me at that time that they wanted him to play. His leg wasn't completely healed. And the team wanted him to play, and he says, I don't know what to play. I mean, but the nicest, if I tell you, the kids and all my sons, my younger son, baseball bats and balls, and every time he came, he used to bring in the courtyard, all types of stuff. And I don't know if you know that he was the best prospect that the Expos ever had in the history of the game.
Oh, yeah. We had a wonderful conversation with him.
Yeah, I was so sorry I missed him. And then I met him, and then I haven't seen him after, you know. Then I met him at the 25th anniversary of the Expos at the dinner. I met him with his wife. He introduced me to his wife. We were sitting, in fact, we had the dinner, and then we watched the game. The Astros were playing the Expos. And then Sunday they had the 25th anniversary game. And, in fact, I still have it. When I gave it to my grandson, he marked to my best friend, Sonny, number 27, Ellis Valentine, the silver ball that I threw out on the game. And I've met a lot of athletes, but I've never met anybody so kind and so, you know, so giving. And the trouble was, he said himself, he says, he had nobody to go to when he got into trouble.
Yeah.
He says, that was his problem, he says.
Sonny, we had an amazing conversation with Ellis Valentine June.
The reason I called, it bothered me so much. I was just going to bed, and I turned on the radio.
Sonny, do you have internet?
No, I haven't. But I'm gonna have my son. What does it say? E. Valentine, number 27.
17. But I'll make you a deal, Sonny. Stay on hold. We're gonna go to commercial right now. Jimmy's gonna take your phone number, and I'm gonna make a CD with our interviews with Ellis Valentine, both the one from the summer and the one from tonight. I will burn it for you and give it to you. So just stick on hold.
Would you mail it, or
I'll give you a call this week, and you're in Côte Saint-Luc. I'm sure I can drive over and give it to you. We'll figure something out.
Because I'll tell you something, I'm a senior citizen. I'm 83, you see, and very difficult. I mean, I get around, but I have no car at the moment. But I would very, very much appreciate it.
Sonny, I will make sure that gets into your hands this week.
I have such fond memories. I've met athletes, and, you know, I've met young fellas, and I, you know, the reason it bothered me, I've told you, it's late, and I figured I had a call because it bothered me that I missed it, you know, because in fact, when we were discussing, you know, when we're sitting, so I said to his wife, I said to her jokingly, I said that the salaries went up. I said, what would Ellis Valentine be worth in his heyday? So she said, you know, she said, if he worked 2 months, we'd have enough. She said, you know, the salaries went up, you know, and he was, you know, and he must have played. Mind you, at that time, he was making between, I think, $50,000 and $75,000, which was a lot of money, you know. But I'm really sorry. I'd appreciate it if you could do that for me.
Sonny, it would be an honor.
Okay.
Let me get that to you this week. CD is okay. I don't know what else I could put it on, but I'm sure your son has a CD player.
Yeah,
or not.
We'll
get it to you, Sonny.
Okay.
We'll get
Sonny,
it to
I
you.
Sonny, I will stay on hold. Jimmy will get your number, and we'll be in touch this week. This is the Kaufman Show, and I don't do that for everyone.
No, you don't.
blood like a fly from a wall. It's no secret at all.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dave. That's Jay. Jimmy's on the board. John Kakalakis is helping us out. And he's earning his keep, ladies and gentlemen. He's golden brown, back from Cuba, and brought me a bottle of Havana Club.
Looks good.
What a smart guy.
Brought you what?
A bottle of Havana Club.
Mm-hmm.
Knows where his bread is buttered, Mr. Furrow.
Yeah, it's very clear.
It's on this side of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what?
Wondering where my bottle.
Do a little more karaoke.
You know what?
And we'll turn this into the Farrar show. And he'll bring you the rum.
All he did was criticize me, and he didn't even bring me a bottle. If you brought me a bottle, he said I was negative.
To be fair, he did that off air.
Yeah, that's true.
You're mentioning it on air.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, because he didn't bring me rum.
Well, you know what it might be, actually?
What?
It might be the fact that you butchered his name when you guest hosted.
That might be
it.
I don't think he's ever forgiven me for that.
Nor can he. Nor can he.
When I
so mean.
I butchered his name, and I completely forgot that Eric Engels was on the show.
Yeah, yeah, who retweeted us tonight.
Yeah?
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Just got married.
I just forgot that he was on the show.
He just got married.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
He even got a cat. Jimmy, what the hell is going on with the music?
At least you did. Listen, it could be worse. It could be worse. You could forget that you have a guest on the show. I did that.
Oh, and the guest tonight, man. Wow. Fantastic guest tonight. Three very interesting people, all at very different stages in their lives, which I think is really fascinating. Alex Anthopoulos being, Jimmy, I don't know, you keep turning it up, you're turning it down. I'm trying to get a thought out here, my man. Alex Anthopoulos, as we discussed, 35 years old, top of the world, worked his ass off from a very young age, knew what he wanted to do, focused, driven, had a goal. He's there right now. Ellis Valentine had all the talent in the world and wasted it. And took till he's now 55 years old. And he's where he should be. He's helping other people. Max Kerman, he's sort of standing on the precipice right now.
Well, he's young, too.
He's 27, 28.
Ugh.
That band is huge.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. And I'll tell you, man, I've seen them half a dozen times. Every time I see them, they get better and better and better. And I think the lesson to all of you is... keep at it and do what you love. And if you do what you love and you keep at it, you'll get there. At least that's what I keep telling myself. And the lyric in this song kept jumping out at me all week. It's no secret that ambition bites the nails of success.
No secret than the stars. Born from the sky, the universe exploding as a one man's lie. Check, I gotta go. I'm running out of change. There's a lot of things. If I could, I'd rearrange.
And that's going to pretty much wrap it up for the Kaufman Show this week. Jay, it was fun, man.
Yeah, this was a fun one.
Yeah.
You just sat there and let me...
Oh, is that what I did?
Be negative.
Did I just sit here? That's all I've done all night?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Besides all the interviews.
right.
You know. But really, what do you do here, Dave? I mean, come on. Get with it, will you?
I don't know how to answer that.
God.
I don't know what to say right now.
I'm tired of, you know, covering for you all the time.
Well, I had a lot of fun tonight.
So did I.
And I want to thank...
Let me just say,
yes.
Dave has been here since, what, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, and it's now 2 in the morning.
It's now 2 in the morning,
yeah,
okay? So the man works hard at what he does. I'm just teasing him.
It doesn't
him.
Feel like it, Jay. I love this.
It doesn't
I, well, let's hope Wayne's not listening, but I love this. This is the most fun I have.
Well,
and it's an honor to be on air and to get to speak to such a wonderful range of people every week, both guests and callers. I feel like a kid. I really do. I am so lucky, and I know it. And the fact that I get to do this every single Monday night makes me wish I was doing it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, too. But we'll get there.
Well, it shows. It shows in the way that you perform every single time that I am here. It is a pleasure and an honor to do the show with you, sir.
Thanks, Jay. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, John Kakalakis. And thanks to Eric Thomas for helping me out a little earlier on this evening. This is The Kaufman Show. And it's in the books.
Listen up, kid. It's not what you think. Stayed out too late. Had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house if your house burns down. There's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. You hold a grudge anyway, because it's fun. Davey and me, face down in our soup, some French restaurant, I saw Riviere de Loup. Last night at a tour, we burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next Monday night.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?